that. Here's one part system coherency synthesis, two parts system level verification, and three parts fabulousness. Hey there, everyone! Welcome to episode number 472 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, system level verification takes center stage in this week's podcast. My guest is none other than longtime friend of the show, all-around great guy, Dave Kelf, CEO of Brekker. Dave and I are chatting about why coherency is crucial to system level verification today, and the details of Brekker's new System Coherency Synthesis Trek app. But before we bring in Dave, it's been a while, so let's bring in some news you may have missed. Doubling our DNA storage edition. So, what if we could make data storage in DNA a whole lot more feasible, while also doubling its capacity? Well, that's exactly what a team of researchers at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign did in a recent study. All right, DNA is storage. Let's back up a second. Now, we all know that DNA consists of combinations of four nucleobases that are represented by the letters A, G, C, and T. And different groupings of these nucleobases form the blueprints to make every living organism on Earth. All right, but DNA is much more than just the blueprints for living beings. DNA can also be an incredibly dense information storage system. A single gram of DNA, only 1 gram, can actually store up to 215 petabytes of data. Now, for our extremely data-hungry world these days, this kind of data storage is really intriguing, right? Well, this team from the University of Illinois may have just made DNA data storage even more intriguing. So how exactly? They added letters to the alphabet. That's right. In addition to the normal A, G, C, and T, this team added an additional 7 letters to the DNA alphabet, chemically modified nucleotides, which allows for more varied combinations, which then, in turn, allows for more information to be stored within the exact same amount of physical space. Co-author of this study, Kasra Tabatabai, puts it like this. He said, "Imagine the English alphabet. If you only had 4 letters to use, you could only create so many words. If you had the full alphabet, you could produce limitless word combinations." That's the same with DNA. Instead of converting zeros and ones to A, G, C, and T, we can convert zeros and ones to A, G, C, T, and the 7 new letters in the storage alphabet. So, I hear you loud and clear, my fish frying audience, but adding extra letters doesn't mean anything if you don't have a system to read them. Well, that's right. Absolutely true. And this team from the University of Illinois thought that as well. They also developed a new system that can read the data stored by these new nucleotides. And this is how it works. The DNA strand passes through a nanopore in a specifically designed protein. Now, this protein is especially important because it can detect the individual units, no matter if they are natural or synthetic. And then machine learning algorithms developed by this team of researchers then decodes the information stored within. Chao Pan, co-author of this study, describes this part of their study like this. "We tried 77 different combinations of 11 nucleotides, and our method was able to differentiate each one of them perfectly. The deep learning framework as part of our method to identify different nucleotides is universal, which enables the generalizability of our approach to many other applications." So, not only does this study address the reading speed of the data, but it also addresses the writing speed of the data as well. Until now, the writing speed of the data has been a pretty sluggish process for DNA. But this new system roughly halved the amount of time it takes to write information to DNA. So, are we ready for DNA as a viable data storage system today? No, but this new study from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is a big move forward. So, if you want even more information about the details of this study or to read the associated research paper called Expanding the Molecular Alphabet of DNA-Based Data Storage Systems with Neural Network Nanopore Readout Processing, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com for your reading pleasure. All right, let's change gears a bit and chat with Dave Kelf about system coherency synthesis, system level verification, and a whole lot more. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to talk to you again.
Excellent. Okay, so Breca recently introduced the System Coherency Synthesis Trek app to test coherency. So, Dave, what problem is this new Trek app looking to solve?
So coherency, essentially, in an electronic system is the issue of ensuring that the data is consistent between the different areas that store it. So originally, this was related to the cache in the system. We had multiple levels of memory in the system. And what would happen is the processors would select data from a high-performance cache that was connected to it, but it was a very small memory to give it the performance. And then if it needed to collect data that hadn't been using at that moment, it would go to a larger memory, you know, which would contain a broader data store, and that data would then be copied into the small memory. So this is called caching. And the issue is ensuring that as the data was changed in the small high-performance memory, that it was also kept consistent in the second-level cache memory, and even in the third level. There's often three levels of cache and flash and off-chip storage and things like that. So this was all about maintaining consistency in the data across all these memory systems. This was always a significant problem for these systems, but now, given the complexity of an SoC where you have multiple processors all trying to refer to the same data store, you have fabrics, bus structures, which are essentially collecting data from all kinds of different areas of the system and passing it onto these different processors, and even I/O components that have coherency issues as well, the problem has got much, much worse more recently in these systems. And so what we're seeing is, you know, a need to make sure that the systems are working efficiently and effectively and that they can be verified as doing this. So the verification of cache coherency is very tricky. Basically, you can't just run the system and hope that you are going to have what we would call a cache miss, an area where the data store is not quite correct. You actually have to run very special and specific algorithms across the system to make sure that the cache operation is running correctly. That is what this Trek app does. Breca's actually had a cache coherency Trek app for a number of years now. And what essentially it does is it works at the system level and generates large sequences of test content, which are targeted at producing caching errors. And we run basically a lot of these different algorithms that you see being used by these companies, but it's all self-contained inside this Trek app. And so what can happen is that the Trek app can operate and run either in a UVM environment or in an SoC environment on an emulator, say, run all these different algorithms, generate a lot of this test content, and really thoroughly wring out this caching structure across the whole system, you know, very effectively. And it can be operated without an engineer having to learn a special language or really a lot of special algorithm and environment type stuff. It is out of the box, fit for purpose, works just on these environments and can just be configured to match a number of SoCs very easily.
Okay, so I know you touched upon this a little bit, but Dave, why is coherency so important to system-level verification?
So to ensure that an SoC is coherent is really critical to the overall operation of the device. So coherency is a funny thing. A regular bug might just create a complete error in the system, and it's very obvious where that error is and often can be sorted out. Coherency is sort of like a virus, maybe not my most topical analogy. It's like a virus taking over a cell. It occurs anywhere in the memory or across the system, can pop up in a sort of unusual place, then disappear. So it's very hard to find these bugs and figure out how you can repair them. And what you get on the end product, say a cell phone or something like that with coherency issues, is it will just seem to crash in a very unusual fashion, in a very unpredictable way. The sense of the quality of any end product that has cache problems is very, very poor. And it's interesting. So when you look at the verification and system level verification, to understand where coherency fits, it's worth having a quick discussion about what we would term the verification gap. So if you look at the verification of process of a whole system, you would start by verifying individual blocks. You might do some virtual platform architecture work at the beginning. I should add that. But then you would start verifying the individual blocks, usually using a UVM environment on a simulator. And what would happen is these blocks are made to be working correctly, and then they'll all be integrated together on the system and probably placed on an emulator with the processor. And then real workloads, that is real data, is run through the system to make sure it works correctly. The problem is that it's very hard to construct a UVM environment at the block level to test coherency. And the real workloads are unlikely to trip over a coherency bug. You'd have to run this thing on an emulator for months to potentially hit one of these coherency bugs if it exists with a real workload. So the coverage on a real workload is not good enough. So we've identified this gap in between the UVM part of the process and the real workloads running on a big system. And we call this the SSC verification gap. And in this gap, what is required are UVM-style tests at the SSC level, but with much more extensive coverage and operating like the real workloads operate. So what we need is kind of pre-built libraries of tests that can run like a real workload, but that thoroughly exercise specific areas on the SSC which need that deep coverage testing that you wouldn't see with a real workload. So cache coherency is the obvious one, probably the most significant. We also see power domain testing, security, these other things which, you know, won't be detected by running a real workload, need a lot of deep coverage, randomized type testing. And today, it's very hard to sort of do that in UVM. So what these Trek apps are really doing, and why this is so important, is they're pre-built pieces of IP functionality that target at a very deep coverage level, very high impact tests for these specific areas that exist in this verification gap, just as the SoC is being built and can operate on an emulator, so can provide the performance testing that you really need for a complete SoC.
Okay, so Dave, what has been the reaction from verification engineers?
Most verification engineers are focused on functional verification at the block level using UVM. So often these folks, you know, won't really come across a cache coherency issue, which really starts at the system level. But what happens is when some of the engineers are asked to verify the system integration with the processors, as inevitably sooner or later they are, they'll hit these kinds of problems like a brick wall. So it's not something that, you know, they can sort of predict happening and they think, well, this might be a problem, and they start to see it and they can start to build systems. It's one of those things that they don't know about until it's right on them and it's a huge effort and they aren't necessarily familiar with all the algorithms and the methods that are used to perform cache coherency verification. So consequently, the engineers that we've been working with are very excited when we can turn up with a pre-built app that has built into it all these algorithms already, that is easy to use and can provide exactly the coverage they need for these SoCs. So the reaction we got is very, very positive. And actually, I should mention, we're going to issue a press release tomorrow, and I'll send you a copy of it, from a RISC-V processor company in China who recently started using the app and were really bowled over by it. So they're very excited and they were willing to even give us a press release, which is unusual from a Chinese company, to discuss their usage of this. So I'll send you that after this call.
Excellent. Okay, so Dave, is the System Coherency Synthesis Trek app available now?
It's most definitely available. In fact, Brekker, like I mentioned, has been in the cache coherency Trek app business for about 6 years now. And we've worked with a lot of the big semiconductor companies on this. It's been used very, very successfully. I would say it was about, I don't know, 2 years ago, we really started seeing some of these larger system coherency issues coming to play. So we saw, you know, more complex fabrics, which had to be coherent, more complex I/O devices, which had to be coherent on top of the memory and the multiprocessor sort of subsystem. So we started working on adding these algorithms to our cache coherency app, I'd say about a couple of years ago, And so the Trek app's been successfully deployed now in its full nature for about 6 months. And we've got, I would say, six companies using it very successfully today, with a number more coming in and having a look at it.
Excellent. Now, Dave, you became CEO of Brekker in October. What are your priorities for Brekker going into 2022?
Yeah, so yes, I did. And the reason is the company's growing. You know, I was really involved in running the business side of the company, marketing, sales primarily, and sort of the strategy. And Adnan, who was the former CEO and who is still the executive president and the CTO, was very involved and still is, of course, on the technical side of the company. And Brekker has a very strong technical culture. So Adnan, you know, really did a phenomenal job of driving that and is continuing to do so. But I think what we realized is we just needed help on the business side, which was broken off from the technical side, to make the whole company operate more efficiently. And it's really worked out very well. So, you know, obvious things for priorities. You know, we doubled our revenue last year in 2021. We're planning on something similar this year. So that's exciting. We're building our team significantly right now. So I don't know if it's okay to do this, but if I can make a plug, if anyone's interested in working at Brekker, particularly a technical person in the verification space, R&D or AEs, please let us know. We're very interested. But so on top of the obvious things like that, I think the big priority for me right now is realizing to the industry at large, the kind of the vision of Brekker, which is this notion of an executable specification, where you create a specification in an easy to understand, easy to create fashion, and then synthesize tests. So you basically have a spec which you're driving the verification process with, as opposed to sort of the low level right now where engineers are writing test content. So raising abstraction and basing it on a specification of the design rather than this low level form is a very powerful concept. And I think there are certainly a lot of companies that are aware of what we're doing, but really making this a movement, if you like, in the whole industry and building a kind of a community of like-minded individuals around this who can start exploring it with us and sort of understand the full impact and the full power of this, I think is clearly a major goal for this year for the company.
Excellent. All right, Dave, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. All right. So, Dave, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the planet, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
I think I would pick a curry because I love Indian food. I'm British. And as many people know, I think the national food of England is, in fact, Indian curries. And I would pick that. And I would pick kind of an eclectic mixture of different kinds of curries, like kormas and masalas and what have you. A bit like verification, right? We have an eclectic mixture of bugs and problems and issues to test, and you have to find different ways of approaching it. But that's what makes it interesting and exciting. I would say the same for a dinner of sort of multiple different kinds of curries and flavors and tastes, which is what makes that also, you know, very interesting and exciting. Good question.
Yeah, and it sounds delicious. Well, Dave, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been great to talk to you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or hack you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 11th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.